You're listening to Munch, a podcast and website where we pair meals with movies. I'm Ben.
I'm on.
You're listening to Munch, a podcast and website where we pair meals with movies. I'm Ben.
I'm Andre.
And I'm Leanna.
And this week, we're here talking about Jesus Christ Superstar. And this week, we paired a delicious meal for you to go with Jesus Christ Superstar. Something a little simple, but very, very referential to the history of Jesus Christ. Leanna, what did we start out with for this meal?
Well, we started out with some olive loaves, which are fantastic. One of my favorite breads that I've ever made, both because it tastes amazing and because Andre hates olives and Ben and I love them. So we get to eat the olives that he painstakingly picks out of each slice of bread.
And we originally made that for my Big Fat Greek Wedding, and we fell in love with it right there and then.
And but sorry, by we, he does just refer to 2/3 of the podcast.
So
it's
so now
like
Andre,
66% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Andre, what did we do for the main dish?
We did some black cod, which
delicious
was
black cod,
delicious. Real good,
nice,
very
and simple,
authentic.
Not a lot of herbs and seasonings.
You could
on
just,
it, just
like
going straight.
Picture Jesus splitting that into like 64 parts for zillions of people or something like that.
64 parts.
Yeah,
following up with that,
something like that. I think that's historically.
You can
accurate.
Tell that all three of us paid a lot of attention in the years and years of private school that we collectively attended.
Which we were very privileged to attend and had that opportunity. Following up for the drink this time around, we had, normally we do something a little harder alcohol, but we just had some wine this time.
Yeah, pretty laid back night. No one had too much to drink. We just had some wine.
Yeah, but we do,
that was spilled that all over the MacBook.
Yeah, we do have some
was
drink.
Was that on the MacBook? Oh, well, it was on the middle part.
Right.
It's all good.
I'm sorry. We do still have drinks here. Munch tradition for our podcast. Drinks in hand, and I will talk a little bit about the dessert that we had for this meal, a sesame candy that was very tasty, kind of Greek in origin, but understandably with the connections to Jesus and the Greek kind of tradition, as well as that entire area, felt appropriate. Very tasty.
And one of my favorites.
So easy to clean up, too. Every time you make candy, it's just real easy to just quickly wipe that out of the pot.
Is the sarcasm coming through on the podcast? Like, I just want to make sure that our listeners are catching that.
Oh, yeah.
Great point.
We've started off with a lot of sarcasm from Andre early on.
Yeah.
I think
we should just, like, work in a little music cue whenever he gets really sarcastic.
Oh, there we go.
You can just go,
All right. Now that you've brought that up,
yeah,
we're here to talk about Jesus Christ Superstar, which, has anyone here seen it before?
I have.
You have seen it before.
I had not.
I had not seen it either. I had some familiarity with the podcast, or not with
it
the podcast,
was,
geez,
I think,
with the
10 years
soundtrack.
Ago. I think it was 10 years
so,
ago.
So, Andre, you saw
no
it a long time.
I had no familiarity with the soundtrack. I had nothing.
Well, okay, I saw...
So you weren't familiar with any of the songs in there?
Nothing.
Wow.
Literally nothing.
I saw the movie. I liked it. I was surprised how much I liked it, and I listened to the soundtrack a lot, and there were a couple,
age?
I don't know,
was
like
this
16,
a recent,
17?
Okay,
high school,
because I remember watching it at Sean's house in his dad's living room, like,
Sean being a friend of yours,
yeah, you know him, he was a groomsman,
yes,
okay,
I mean, I'm setting it up for our audience
oh,
who does
right.
not
okay.
know Sean,
not
okay.
everyone was invited to our wedding on
yeah.
day.
Surprise!
There was a small wedding. No, but there were some songs that I heard, and I was like, "Yeah, that song's been stuck in my head for the last 9 years." And I told Leanna when we listened to what song was it? It's when they're all in the cave. It's like the second song
what's
in
the
movie.
Buzz?
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
All right.
When will we ride into Jerusalem? When will we? Yeah. I told Leanna that's going to be stuck in your head for the rest of your life.
It's real good.
And it's true because I've had it stuck in my head for like 10 years.
So let's set this up for our audience for a quick second. Jesus Christ Superstar is a little bit of a outside the norm of what we normally do. It's not Christmas. It's not Easter. Why did we decide to go with this film?
Well, it is Mystical Thursday today. And by that, I mean not the, like, calendar Mystical Definitely. Thursday.
Mystical Thursday isn't a thing. It was
no.
Thursday of Mysteries.
Sorry, Thursday of Mysteries. And it's also not Thursday of Mysteries.
Like, that was your thing, and you messed it up.
Mystical Thursday is cool, though. Because it isn't Thursday of Mysteries today. That doesn't happen until, like, May.
It but just happens today, to be Thursday. Today is Thursday.
Well, Mystical Thursday.
We're recording this on a Thursday.
Well, I'm calling it Mystical Thursday starting now. The second Thursday of every September is Mystical Thursday.
All right, but let's talk about why we actually decided to watch this film.
Hamilton.
Hamilton.
Oh, Hamilton.
Alexander Hamilton.
There's a million things I haven't done.
But just you wait. We have fallen in love with Hamilton.
Oh, deeply. So yeah. deeply yeah. that Andre and I bought season tickets so that we could be like early okay. in line as possible.
I bought season tickets for next year
so that we could see Hamilton in Seattle.
We got 2015 season tickets.
2016.
2016 season tickets, so we could resubscribe to 2017
tickets.
I don't
know how listeners are going to care about the logistics of this, because they may or may not actually live in Seattle.
Okay, but we all have season tickets, so that we can kind of be
first in line
to get the Hamilton tickets when it comes to Seattle. We have all very much enjoyed Hamilton, fallen in love with that soundtrack. Lin-Manuel Miranda is a genius.
Mm.
I can't. Like, on multiple occasions, as I'm listening to that soundtrack, I've cried, like, as it kind of reaches the climax towards the end.
It's oh, yeah.
always does a wonderful job of pulling out the emotions. And throughout that experience of kind of coming to understand Hamilton better, we have also learned that it also references Jesus Christ Superstar on multiple occasions.
Yeah, especially the whole, the story being told from the... well, essentially the murderer
the antagonist perspective.
Yeah. So Lin-Manuel Miranda specifically said he drew inspiration from Jesus Christ Superstar in the fact that it kind of centers the story around Judas as a narrator, where Judas is the murderer of the man you would expect to be the hero, like the title character of the movie, whether it's Hamilton or Jesus Christ. The
JC.
Yeah, JC. Yeah.
And there's a lot of other connections between the two musicals. Mary Magdalene in this film has a lot of corollaries to both. Mariah Reynolds, as well as Angelica Schuyler. So they're specifically in how they are treated musically.
Oh, yeah, no, there was a song. Okay, it was near the beginning of the movie, where all the best songs are, where... Jesus and his hippie friends are walking up towards the, oh man, we looked it up. They were the mean Jews, the Philistines?
Philistines, the Sanhedrin.
Yeah. They were, on one hand, they're talking about how they got to kill Jesus, and then that song is kind of interlaced with Jesus and his followers talking about how good things are, and... It reminded me a lot of that song in Hamilton, Farmer Refuted, where there's two songs, like kind of the good guy and the bad guy, so intertwined. Great. And that, while I was, do you remember the scene I'm talking about now? Where it's all the guys in their big leather hats, and Jesus is walking up the hill, and they're singing their own songs together? Yep. Yeah. That reminded me of Farmer Refuted.
And Farmer Refuted is just such a incredible moment. How the lyrics kind of match up between Hamilton's, what Hamilton's singing versus, kind of what the corollary's singing. And it's just such an incredible moment. In that.
Oh yeah.
And it has a very,
Hamilton does it better 100%,
but it has a very similar moment within Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah. It feels like two songs told from like two different sides of the track. At the same time and working well together.
And in both, I feel as though it's lighthearted. It's
yeah.
Don't really, if you look at it just on the surface, you don't really see what's about to happen next.
Mm-hmm.
And yet both are very ominous songs because
yeah.
they do lead to the death of the main character.
Yeah.
And they completely let you know that that's going to happen based on how ominous it is. But if you're just listening to the like
mm-hmm.
back and forth, you might totally miss that.
Yeah.
So it's subtle, but it's well done in both, I think.
Chaos and bloodshed are not a solution. Don't let them lead you astray.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Oh, man. Sorry. It's been a while. We wanted to work some lyrics in here, but it's been a while.
Congress does not speak for me.
My dog speaks more eloquently.
They're playing a dang. All right. Well, we will run into legal issues.
Once we get started,
yeah.
It's
legal
time
issues
to stop.
If
yeah.
you continue with this.
Before
hold
we
on.
Get,
wait,
before
one more
we get
Hamilton
any further
song.
Into the movie,
yeah.
though,
okay.
I would like to point something out.
Mm.
I did not know that this movie was going to look like it half took place in the 60s, half back in Jesus' time. I was expecting
yeah.
100% Jesus' time, so
yeah.
I felt a certain amount of confusion and bewilderment when it started in the opening scene where you're sort of
yeah.
like panning between, you know, different columns, and then there's this like modern scaffolding.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, mm-hmm. maybe that's just because the budget was low. But then all
no,
of a sudden,
no, before that it was the bus. It was the bus.
No,
yeah.
the bus came next.
Yeah.
The bus is flying out of the desert, and I was like, Jesus didn't have.
Who's that
those.
Guy? Who's that guy? He wrote.
Sounds like.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Ken Kesey. 60s. He drove his bus around. Electric Kool-Aid acid test. That reminds me. Okay, no one else. Ken Kesey. He's a very famous Oregon author.
You're on your own.
He wrote One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which is a very famous movie that, you know the actor.
Pretending
oh, God.
Beside
he was in The Shining. Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicholson was in that movie.
Wow.
One Flew Over
that.
Cuckoo's Nest. Yes,
literally
he was in that movie.
That.
Yes, I said One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest like three times, and I was trying to come up with the actor, and you started singing a different song.
Sorry,
okay.
It reminded me of a Wicked song.
Ken Kesey, in the 60s, was kind of the inventor of the modern concert. He, like, well, okay. He brought tubs of acid to different places, and they would play music, and they invented, like, the combination of light show and music at the same time.
What did
so
the
he
tubs
invented
of-
the modern rave.
What did tubs of acid have to do? Have
well, that was,
that?
I mean, what they were well known for. But when I was reading the book, I was like, oh, they were doing a light show and playing music at the same time. That sounds like every concert I've ever been to.
Question.
Okay. All right. You're hung up on the tubs of acid, and I
yes,
can tell.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
When you say tubs
like
of
no
acid, is this
yeah.
the drug acid or a literal tub
no.
acid?
The drug.
How
the drug acid.
Whole tub of acid.
That is a
well, it was
lot
before
acid.
It was illegal. It was like when they invented it.
Yeah, but
so you have
a tub?
Of
acid seems
like I'm thinking like a huge.
Have you seen Breaking
right,
Bad?
This
like this guy had supplier connections.
Wow,
yeah.
that is
yeah.
a lot of acid.
That feels dangerous. Like you might
all right.
eat too much.
Your guys' right. homework is to go read One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest because it's a good book.
I'll be right on
we'll
that,
see.
Leanna.
No, I doubt it.
Let's talk. You mentioned. You briefly mentioned. Kind of the interesting influence between the 60s or the 70s motifs and like that modern influence versus the ancient. How do you think that was treated within the film itself?
I'll be honest, it was very strange. I didn't feel like either theme was fully committed to. And so you ended up with this weird mix of like, maybe this is the 60s or 70s, maybe this is like, maybe we're in Jesus. I don't know. It was very weird.
Yeah.
It was hard to rectify all of that in your mind as you're watching it. But I did enjoy certain costumes in it, regardless of the fact that era-wise, they didn't really fit anywhere. So it was still fun to watch for that
well,
reason.
I feel with musicals, or I guess stage productions, the control you have over the setting is the stage and the costumes.
And that's a lot of control.
It is, but like a lot of times the script people modernize Shakespeare all the time, and they don't change the script at all. And I kind of felt like that's what this was for Jesus Christ Superstar. Like, they didn't change the story of Jesus at all. They just kind of threw some costumes on people. But it still makes you think of it in a new way. Like, I had this conversation with you guys during the movie where we were talking about how everyone was wearing 60s costumes. And it kind of made us think of, like, 60s cults. And
there's so many scenes where everyone is freaking out and dancing and just, like, reveling in this amazing Jesus.
Yeah, you can tell that Jesus is a little uncomfortable with it, and Judas is very uncomfortable with it. And that's why Judas, like, steps away, and Judas says, "I have had enough of this." Well, just looking at it from Judas's perspective, Judas says, "I've had enough of this cult. Like, I can tell that this is getting out of control. This guy's calling himself God. This is getting out of control." And in a similar situation today, like, you'd have respect for someone like him who can realize that he's in over his head and everyone's kind of drinking the Kool-Aid, which literally happens in this movie. Like, there's a scene where Jesus and the apostles are drinking Kool-Aid. And
during the Last Supper, it's presented as wine, but it has a distinct red look to it, similar to Kool-Aid. And what we're specifically referencing here is the James Jonestown Massacre. And so does everyone think that this film kind of specifically correlates the idea of Jesus and his followers to the idea of a cult similar to what happened at the Jonestown Massacre and other cults that kind of arose during this period of time?
I don't think you modernize a play unless you see something going on in that play that can be reinterpreted in through a modern lens. Like, you don't just change the setting of a play unless it adds something to it.
But you would think that the modern lens would be rock, similar to how Hamilton has the modern lens of hip hop. Is it necessary to also reference the cults that kind of come out of this period and such?
Okay, I think when you're saying they're referencing rock, it's a little too one-dimensional. Just like Hamilton taking on hip hop, that's not all they're doing to modernize it. They're casting a very diverse cast. They're talking about, you know, there's that line, "Immigrants, we get the job done." That means something different when Hamilton is played by Lin-Manuel Miranda and he's talking to an African American guy playing Lafayette. It means something different.
Played by Debbie Diggs.
Yeah. It means something different depending on how they cast or make the setting of the play. And I do think they're intentionally going for the same thing in Jesus Christ Superstar, where they're not just saying, "Hey, let's make this look a little newer than it was." I think they were going for let's talk about today's issues in this story that we all know well, and kind of reinterpret how we think about this story and how we can actually apply it to our lives rather than just think of it as an old story.
But in using kind of Jesus and his followers as a metaphor for those cults, doesn't it at the same time reference kind of those followers as a cult in certain ways? Or
yeah, but it does that to Judas. You're supposed, like, this is the one play that makes you feel for Judas. Like, Judas has been the bad guy forever, and they have to do something in here to make you think Judas isn't crazy. Just like Hamilton makes you think Aaron Burr, you know, he's got a little bit of a backstory. Like, you can understand where he's coming from.
I mean, even he's still if you don't a bad guy, but they do humanize him.
Yeah, and they're doing the same thing for Judas. Like, you can see why Judas is worried about what's going on if you look at it through a lens of, like, if I was in the Manson camp and I saw what was going on there, I'd want to, like, you would want to be the guy who speaks out. And I think they're trying to kind of make you feel for Judas in that way.
Yeah, and I think as someone who went to Catholic school my entire life and has been I've read and seen and just otherwise been exposed to this story in so many different ways over so many different years. One of the things that seeing it in this movie brought to me was Judas's perspective. Mm-hmm. And even those very small, brief scenes where you see Jesus's perspective and he seems a little overwhelmed by how enthusiastic his fans are. And for me, that part's all very muted, at least in the every class that I've ever been in. And so it was a totally different exposure to see, like, no, people were really freaking out about this. And if you were on the sidelines, it probably looked crazy.
Yeah.
So it was interesting for me to be able to experience a totally different perspective than I was ever offered in school.
No, I do think this movie played up the human element of Jesus and Judas in a way that you don't hear about them in Catholic school. Like, you always think about Jesus as God in Catholic school. You don't think of him as a man who's struggling with a mission and kind of understanding his role in the world, and you think of Judas as a villain. You don't think of him as someone who's changed his mind. Like, you never think of Judas as someone who changed his mind, really, in the Bible. You just think of him as the guy who killed Jesus. But in this movie, you see him as, he says, Jesus, I was your right-hand man all along, but you know, once you started calling yourself God, I feel like that's a little crazy. Like, you're in over your head and people are taking you way too seriously and you're doing yourself and all of your followers wrong.
Yeah, I think for me it was also the followers, though. Like, in school, we're taught to think of his followers as being faithful.
Yeah.
And that's because you're at a Catholic school learning a Catholic story.
Yeah, but this movie...
But if you're looking at a cult, those same types of followers who are being faithful, you're told to think of as being brainwashed. And so it's totally a matter of...
And that's how they play them up in this movie a little bit.
Yeah, which is really interesting.
Yeah. And they show Judas looking at them like, you guys are crazy, and it makes you think of it that way.
Yeah.
There's that one scene where the guy is kind of like yelling at Jesus, like, just throw a hint of like Roman hate in there and this is gonna really spark up, you know, and you see Judas on the side, like, you're just in way over your head now, you're like trying to overthrow the king, and you're just... I liked it when you were just talking about like peace and love and hippie stuff, like, that's the 60s setting there, and then it kind of gets
60s 70s.
Yeah, 60s 70s,
late 70s.
You know, I think it kind of gets to a point beyond where Judas thought it was going to go and beyond where the Jesus character in this movie thought it was going to go. And
yeah. And now that we've kind of talked about how the film as well as the musical kind of humanizes and centers around Judas more so than Jesus, let's talk about Judas for a little bit. Played by Carl Anderson in this film, a black man, kind of one of the only main black characters in this film, who I think we're all in agreement was
fantastic.
A shining light.
Wow.
Like,
oh yeah,
incredible voice, just incredible singing, like, across the board.
Even in the beginning when you felt like he was still sort of like trying to find his footing as an actor, because you could tell that, like, this guy knew he had a voice to share with the world, that he wasn't so sure about his acting. I didn't care. I was like, you know what? It's okay that you made that weird face, because everything coming out of your mouth right now is so beautiful.
And he did eventually kind of find his place.
And he did own it. Yeah, that ending scene where he's in the white fringe and he has all the dancers behind him and there's the lights. You're just like, oh, this is modern and cool. And Judas is just owning it. And then the next thing you know, like, Jesus dies. So it's kind of overshadowed by that. But it was an awesome scene. And you really felt like Judas came into his own finally.
Yeah, and there is definitely some kind of weird racial tones with Judas specifically as being the kind of main black man. But we've talked a lot about the musical as a whole. Now let's talk about the film. what did
the cinematography?
I mean the cinematography, the acting, mm-hmm. all of that. What was everyone's feeling about the film itself? Like, I think we all recognize that the music itself was very well done and impressive. But what did everyone think about the movie itself? Like, as a piece of art, was it good? Like, would you watch this again? Or does this actually just make you want to watch a stage performance of Jesus Christ Superstar?
Well, I think they certainly kept it interesting just with the variety of cinematography that they employed throughout the movie.
A product of its time.
Yeah, like, you had slow motion, you had freeze frames, you had people just like appearing in the scene.
Well, okay.
It was all...
Here's the weird
thing.
And
then there was some weird, like, out of focus, like, blurry... Like, there was a lot going on.
Yeah, okay, hold on. I want to talk about that. Everything you mentioned, the freeze frames, the slow motion, the blurry out of focus thing, the weird part for me that I didn't notice at the time, but looking back at the movie, is it all kind of happened in its own, like, 15-minute period. Like, there was a 15-minute period where it felt like they played with the freeze frames. And there was, like, a period where it felt like they played with slow motion a little bit.
This is another reason why this movie was definitely both filmed and edited in chronological order.
Yeah, that's... No, I think it's true, because like, it wasn't like they did the freeze frames throughout the movie. There was just, like, this one short period in the movie where, like, whoa, they keep stopping the movie. And then I didn't notice it for the rest of the movie because I don't think they did it anymore. Yeah. They played with artistic effects.
It was definitely a weird choice. Yeah, and I wouldn't say that, like, trying out this new technology and these new skills in a major motion picture is, like, the best way to try out.
Yeah.
That's already a rock opera.
Like,
to begin with. Like, it's got that going for it to differentiate itself.
Yeah, they're trying out, hey, let's try out doing a movie as a rock opera.
Yeah.
And it just didn't seem like there was any purpose to it. I mean, art, like, good art normally has a certain purpose to it, or, like, it's knowledgeable in how it talks about itself or how it references itself. And it seemed like it was just doing it for the sake of, like, it's new and different and popular right now.
Yeah, sure. I felt that with some of, like, the freeze frames and the slow motion. Definitely the slow motion. The freeze frames almost felt like a mistake. But you knew it. This is a professional movie. It's not a mistake.
Those didn't bother me so much as the random scenes that were out of focus. Those did feel like a mistake because there was no reason for it. Like, there was a scene specifically I remember where they were shooting some water with, like, some...
Yep. I knew you were going to talk about that one.
And it was out of focus, and after, like, 5 seconds, it switches to an alternate view, this time in focus. So, obviously, the cameraman knew how to focus the camera, chose not to in one scene, but did in the other. And it's not clear why. Like, there was no additional, like, you know, obscured, like, clue or, I don't know, something.
Such a weird moment.
Such a weird choice.
Which I think is, like, actually a good segue into maybe our next segment, which, is a Munch original called Spoofs and Goofs.
Oh.
Andre, you are the originator and the founder of this segment.
So this is Spoofs all and you, Goofs. Buddy.
I imagine, I'm just going to take a guess here and say you have a decent list of spoofs and goofs within this film.
I'm expecting that you were just, you know, avidly watching for these specific things the whole time.
Okay. Well, you really put me on the spot, but I did catch...
Expectations are high.
One... Well, I couldn't really
tell.
Don't
let us down.
I don't think it was a spoof, because I don't think it was intentional. It was definitely a goof. It was definitely a goof.
This is a goof.
Here's the thing I caught.
Wait, I thought a goof was intentional. A spoof is... No, sorry. You were correct.
A spoof is intentional. Yep. Okay. Yep.
We went over this in the last episode.
Yes. You guys are going to get it eventually. The only one I caught, and anyone else can add on to this, is there's this scene in the
movie.
Social
media is just roaring.
Yeah. You're looking at the sky, you see an eagle fly across the screen, and they forgot to include a screech for the eagle, and it's just an eagle. Yeah, exactly. You see an eagle silently flying across the screen, which has never happened in film before. So that was definitely a goof. Did anyone else have a spoof or a goof that they saw?
We're really scraping the bottle of the barrel here.
I wasn't going to bring it up.
This was our second episode.
I was specifically told spoof? Not to bring it up.
I did not look actively for this. I got nothing.
I imagined you had other options, Andre, this being your segment and all.
No.
Well,
if I had an exciting idea, I would have interrupted and told you it's time for spoofs and goofs.
All right, I guess we'll see how...
I've been a little hard on him, but you did bring something to the table tonight. I believe you did some research before we watched the movie.
Oh, yeah. I have a new segment I wanted to try out.
Oh, man.
I haven't come up with a name for it. I don't know. Maybe someone will like...
Work in progress.
For now, it's called Rotten Tomatoes.
That's just a name of a website.
I think we're probably going to have to change that.
Yeah. So...
Something tells me.
So, we go to this website. It's rottentomatoes.com.
You might have heard of it.
Very little well-known. Like, not well-known.
http://www.
If you ever heard someone say certified fresh, this is the website that determines if it's fresh.
Okay. This website's definitely not owned by, like, something like Comcast or Fandango or anything like that.
Oh my God, wait, is it?
I think it's owned by Fandango.
Yeah, it's
owned by...
Yes,
really?
You didn't know that?
I did not.
Yeah.
Fandango's better than Comcast, though. Yeah. That would have been just...
Correct, but it's
I would have cut this segment.
It's still owned by a company that wants to sell tickets.
Yeah.
So it's like...
You're limiting the number of future sponsors we might get.
So that
Comcast and Fandango are going to look at this and be like, well... We were going to give them $3 million.
Comcast and Fandango, so into podcast advertising.
Yeah.
I think we would love to represent you. It's a good thing that we're doing this segment right now because we are clearly three impartial opinions, and we will look at these reviews that may or may not have been put there to, like, you know, bring people to theaters.
Yeah.
Like, we'll debate them, and we will let you know if they're honest.
Whether they're right or not. Like, we're going to go... Piece by piece through reviews on Rotten Tomatoes and refute them or agree with them. And then we're just going to ask Rotten Tomatoes to listen to this podcast and then kind of go back through these reviews
This is God's work right here, quite literally.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
JC's work.
Won't you listen to me?
Andre, let me set this up for you.
Okay, yeah, sure.
We're going to start out with what the media thinks of it.
Okay.
And then go on to what the audience thinks of it. Because there's a clear difference between what the critics thought of this, which gave it a 55%, was it?
The critics did give this movie 55%, which
not great.
Is... Yeah.
Not great.
Yeah.
That's rotten.
Well,
in my book. Rotten Tomatoes.
I think
they did show a Rotten Tomato as the image, but a majority of people like the movie.
So you're saying the audience liked this movie?
Oh yeah, 76%. I would say just roughly of the audience liked this movie.
Let's start out with the media, though. What did they think?
Okay, Common Sense. Common Sense Media. I don't know. That one fell a little flatter than I thought it would.
What?
Like, it was kinda,
what?
It was kind of...
Let's talk this... All right, before we... hold on. Let me kind of give you the structure of the joke. It always helps when you describe the joke.
Yeah.
So let's hear
it.
A Common Sense says... But the name of the...
I'm following along.
Yeah, the name of the blog...
Still here.
...that posted this was Common Sense Media. So, I don't know. I was working for something there. I didn't quite find it.
Yeah,
so I had hoped someone else would find it for me.
You were making a joke.
Oh my gosh!
Only you had the written component that made
anyway,
the joke work.
Sorry,
oh, wow.
Renee says
he did have more beer than either of us. So
no, I had the same beer as him.
Okay, then there's really no.
And I've had whiskey, so I'm actually ahead of him.
Renee gave it.
What's his full name? Her full name?
Renee Schoenfeld.
All right. With who?
The Common Sense Media.
There we go. That's the joke.
That's the joke, guys. She gave it 3.5 stars. She said, dated, unconventional rock opera, has some violence. And that was kind of the review.
Did she review it in 2012 and was like, this is dated?
Yeah.
Also,
well,
not
obviously. Really fair.
Yeah,
also, considering the time frame, in 2012, there was a lot more violent films than this.
Okay, sorry. This is why I wanted to talk about this review. She could have said this two ways. You let me know how she said it. She said, like, 3.5 stars, dated, unconventional film, has some violence. Or, dated, unconventional film, has some violence. Like, is she being like, but at least it has some violence? Or is she being like, and it's also kind of violent?
I think she sounded like she was surprised by the violence, which is fair.
It's dated, unconventional, and it has some violence.
Not like that.
I'm sorry, how would she say it?
No, I'm just saying that I think the movie does not, especially like the first, what, like 3/4 of the movie, it does not make it seem like, even though you know where everything is going, it does not make it seem like it's going to be a violent moment when Jesus dies. And yet there's like a pretty graphic like whipping scene and Judas hangs himself.
Yeah.
And there's like all of that is sort of, you know, everything else before that does not really prep you for that. And and if you were going to this movie and you were being responsible and you looked up the rating.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
You would be very misinformed.
G-rated.
And there was a person who died.
There is blood.
A person who was a prostitute.
There is suicide.
In the Bible, it never references a prostitute in the movie, but like still a G rating.
And there are lots of ladies gyrating.
Like a G rating.
Gyrating. Yeah. Twerking. Before twerking was a thing.
All right. No, that was not really.
I would say shimmying.
Shimmying?
That was the least shocking thing in the film. All right, let's talk about the more shocking elements, which is Judas hanging himself and like an extended scene focusing on him losing his breath and ultimately dying, as well as the whipping of JC.
It was violent.
Yeah.
It was violent.
It's hard to watch. Like, they show you his reactions, and he seems like he's in a lot of pain, and there's blood. And
But, it does not compare in any way to what Passion of the Christ
and had was to that, offer. And was that, remind me, was that also a G? Because when I think of Gs, like
that was an R rating.
Even Toy Story.
It was an R rating.
I want to say Toy Story was PG. Like, you got to be really docile to get a G these days. You have to be like a movie about picking flowers and putting them into a bouquet at the end of the movie. Yeah. Lamb or Golden Retriever like. You'll have to check Twitter for that joke.
At Get Munched.
I want to go into a couple users' reviews of the movies.
All right, we're going to place a little disclaimer before we go into this. User reviews are a little more wild.
Unpredictable. Candid.
Definitely don't trust them as much.
But we'll debate them.
We'll debate them.
We'll give them a moment.
They bring up some decent points.
All right, so this guy, Jeffrey11... gave the movie only 1.5 stars. And this is out of 5.
Okay.
And his review was...
Jeffrey 11.
All
right. It's kind of like Ben 10, but instead of
kind of like
Jeffrey
Ben 10, but it's Jeffrey 11.
Right.
1.5 stars. The review was, the ending was predictable.
He's not wrong.
You know... Actually,
I'm going to stand by him on this one. Yeah. He's not wrong.
Yeah. I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Whoa!
Yeah, you wanted them to change the ending of the Jesus story.
No.
I wanted them to tell the whole story, because they left out the part where Jesus rises again.
Good point. There were a lot of complaints about that, let me tell you.
There were some
complaints.
All right. I mean,
is this why the Catholic Church didn't approve this movie
just
until 1999?
I was playing devil's advocate just to, like, you know, get another opinion in there. It wasn't... I'm not mad about the way the movie ended, but... Yeah. Okay.
Here's the deal. It's a snapshot of Jesus' life where you can end it.
It was a powerful ending. I'm not saying we should have added that in, but I'm just saying, like, this guy obviously went into it thinking that they would not show that, and then they didn't, and he was like, predictable.
Could have seen it coming.
Yeah.
Read the book before.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's like...
Book's better than the movie.
It's like if you read Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, and then you watched the movie, and you were like, I kind of knew already that he was gonna kind of keep Quirrell from... taking the stone home. Hold on. You before I go
said
into
that underneath your breath.
Before
almost I, like you were unsure about that.
Yeah. How well, good all right, is let's, Harry Potter history?
Hold on. Next before review, I go into the next question, review. I'm just curious, what was your favorite scene of the movie?
My favorite scene. Well, it was definitely a scene with Judas, and it was like, despite me liking the red frog-like nature of Judas earlier in the film,
oh.
It was probably the rock concert when Judas comes back
with the fringe
alive. He has
that's my favorite too.
Body-length white fringes,
body-length fringe,
and he is just belting. He's belting to the nosebleeds. Everyone can hear him. It is a beautiful moment. It is powerful. It is emotional. You can feel that electricity just like running down your spine.
And everybody got it right. Everybody got it right. The cinematography, spot on.
Yeah, and then
Judas's expressions and acting, spot on. The dancers, spot on.
Like, and then he just has this beautiful chorus follow up him, and like, the chorus itself can kind of hold its own in its own right.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it just pairs so nicely with what Judas has to offer. It is an incredible moment in that film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It kind of saves a pretty dour and, like, boring kind of second act and pulls it all mm-hmm. together for that third act.
Yeah. No, I mean, those are good points. And Francisco also brings up some good points in his review.
And
a 3.5
just
star.
Named Francisco?
His name is Francisco Montemayor. He gave it 3.5 stars.
Montemayor.
And his review is, best scene, Jesus' life.
He's not wrong.
That's like half the movie, though. That's not a scene.
But, like, also Jesus was kind of the worst actor in that film.
Yeah.
He had a way about him. Or, sorry, not Jesus. JC. He had a indifference about him
mm-hmm.
that...
Yeah.
It was both hard to believe and also...
I don't know if it was...
There wasn't anything there.
Yeah, like, you felt the emotion in those characters a lot more than you did with Jesus. Yeah. Except for the scene where he goes into the market and he's just flipping
everything over. He was so mad. And you can tell, like, there's just
a moment where, like, he walks in and his face just drops and he's like, oh, I'm gonna fuck their shit up. And then he just goes for it.
Yeah.
There's just
no, and we were
are you selling
it, we were like,
mirrors?
Yeah.
Are you selling fucking mirrors? I'm gonna flip these mirrors over.
But better yet, the moment where he walks up to the grenade stand and he just caution to the wind, just nope, and just flips it and they go flying.
Then the other part is like he's throwing over, he's like pushing over, like gyrating tweens, and he's like flipping
gyrating,
over grenades.
Wait,
and he's
incorrect.
Gyrating tweens?
No one was a tween in this.
Wow,
that's a line from a movie.
Definitely, we're not tweens.
Those
were full
references.
Adults.
We are your friends. You got to see We Are Your Friends, and you'll understand that reference.
Oh,
is that a film?
It is.
Yeah,
We Are Your Friends.
Your references because. Who is that? No one knows.
We Are Your Friends.
We Are Your Friends.
It's
it has Zac Efron. It's well known.
Is that We Are Your Friends?
It's based on the song
it is
We
named after
are
the Justice song.
Your Friends.
They play that song in a movie.
Never
they
be
do
alone
that for
again.
You, the audience.
Right. Gyrating tweens. Yeah.
I guess it is. All right.
He flips over a table of fruit. Like, he's really
mad
about
part,
the fruit.
That part made me a little
like,
upset because
I
want to.
It's like a farmer's market. He's like the last farmer at the farmer's
someone
market. And
eaten
Jesus
those
was like, not you either. Not in this temple. No mangoes.
That's my mangoes. I spent all season growing
They're
them.
They're locally sourced.
Those are organic. Jesus.
Jesus! Aww. Just wanted to grow mangoes!
Alright. Bum, 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 bum,
okay,
bum,
so
bum,
here's,
one more
here's
review,
something.
One more.
One more?
One last review. Let's,
I have
let's,
seven.
Let's finish. You have so many reviews. Pick your best.
God.
We only have so much time for this right. segment, Andre.
Okay. Aww. Okay. All right. I'll make one more.
Everyone feels
wait,
sorry
like for Tina. Tina from wait, Bob's Burgers.
Okay. Hold on. How many? Wait. How many more can I do?
One.
One. Oh.
This is getting awkward. Just
hold on. Okay. Hold on. All right. This is from Ragdolls with a Z. Oh, one star. Certainly a different take on the gospel. That's
again,
all.
She is not wrong.
Wow.
Yeah. I wonder like, if she went into it thinking like, oh my God, Jesus Christ Superstar, this could only be a movie about how great Jesus Christ is.
This is the musical she was like, I've been waiting forever.
She was just picturing like so Andrew Lloyd Webber was just sitting there like, should I do the Book of John? Should I do the Book of Paul? Should I do the Book of Luke? Like, which gospel should I follow? Or, like, maybe I should do, like, 60s rock instead. Oh, that's not a gospel. Maybe I should do Luke. Maybe I should do 60s rock.
Definitely 60s rock.
What is Ragdolls gonna think? Oh, fuck Ragdolls. I'm just gonna do 60s rock.
Yeah.
And the rest is history. The rest
is
history.
Do you think the 33% didn't like this movie didn't like it because it didn't follow the gospel? And they went into it with bad expectations?
No one didn't like this movie because Ray Jason said it is a spectacular movie that shines and will be enjoyed by everyone.
I see you sneaking another review in.
Okay, this one isn't a review. Can I do it real quick? It's not a review. It turns out on Rotten Tomatoes.
All right. Last one.
There's
last
two
one.
Things
we'll,
you
we'll
can
give
do.
Him this one.
Okay.
You can cut him off next week.
You
next
can do,
week, we cut him off.
And
you
we're
can do
him off of
two things on Rotten Tomatoes that aren't reviews. And so this isn't a review. So.
Oh.
You can say, won't watch, which several people did because this was an affront to Christ. And then one
do
person.
Do we have a percentage
wait,
or a
wait,
number?
Did they specify
two people,
that they won't watch it because
I didn't,
it's
I didn't
an
make a note of
Christ?
It. It was two people, different usernames, same review.
Oh.
So this person made two accounts just to get the word out there.
Wait, I'm sorry. So they said, I won't watch this because it is an affront to Christ.
Follow up.
Yeah.
Follow
something
up.
Like, okay, word for word, that wasn't it, but it was spirit for spirit, yes.
Follow up. Uh-huh. Is it capitalized the word or is it just the word?
Oh, everything was capitalized.
Also, you have a notification on your computer that says, take out the trash.
Uh-huh.
You were supposed to do that 34 minutes
Yeah, I'm going to edit that out. But this is the other non-review you can do is want to see. And Bartek said, in all caps as well, let me see this film. Which I'm just imagining is his, like, 5 minutes that he's allowed on the computer per day. And he was like, there's got to be a way I can see Jesus Christ Superstar. Maybe like if I can ask Rotten Tomatoes, let me see this film. And then mom was like, that's my keyboard.
You can't
away.
See Jesus Christ Superstar.
Your keyboard time is over. You can only look at the monitor now.
Jesus.
I'm going to pull up the Book of Luke, chapter 4.
Jesus Christ Superstar is an affront to the Bible.
You may never see that movie. I'm taking the keyboard. You can have the mouse, but that's it. See what you can do with
you
that.
You did pretty far with the mouse and the browser. Like, I think you're
just the mouse
great.
And the browser?
Yeah.
What would you do? If it's not one of your favorites, like, how would you get to the site?
I think before mom takes away the keyboard, you get yourself on Wikipedia, and you just keep clicking those links.
No, but, no, your last stroke on the keyboard, you typed, let me see this film. Mom grabs the keyboard, you hit shift exclamation point. And she's pulling it away, and you hit shift exclamation point, and she's pulling
and
it away,
on that
and you
note,
can reach one
we
more
are,
time, shift exclamation point, you get all three exclamation points
we
in.
We are pulling this microphone away from Andre. No. It is the perfect opportunity. We have
Bartek,
got...
I will give you the movie! Give me your email, your next 5 minutes on the computer, and I'll send it to you. I'll torrent it. I didn't this time, I paid for it, but I'll figure out a way to get you the movie, Bartek.
But if we had sponsors, maybe we wouldn't have to pay for movies. That'd be nice.
Sponsors? Comcast, Fandango, looking at you.
Yeah.
Speaking of sponsors, if you have questions or if you want to sponsor us, get to us at getmunchedup.com. That's getmunchedup@gmail.com. And I think that will do it for this week. Andre, you've been a pleasure as always. I say that painstakingly.
Yeah.
With Liana, the utmost sincerity. Thank you. Yes, with the utmost sincerity.
And just Ben, remember, you have given not enough time to my bits, as I would prefer.
I will note that for next week. Liana, thank you for the clarity you always bring to Andre's chaoticness.
I live with him. It's part of my job.
You two are an incredible duo. And that is it for this week. We just watched Jesus Christ Superstar, and we are Munch, a podcast and website where we pair meals with movies. Have a good day.